What's on the horizon? The answers lie beyond the roads we know.
To get a sense of just how vital public relations is to the survival of fossil fuel companies, consider what those companies would have you believe.
We recognize that energy demand is growing.
Adverts that will leave you thinking that the industries most responsible for the climate's breakdown can somehow be trusted to meaningfully confront it.
At Chevron, we're working to find new ways forward.
Oil and gas companies have a savior complex.
We have to be net zero.
Net zero emissions.
A net zero future.
And despite all their pledges to hit net zero emissions, new analysis by research and advocacy group Oil Change International reveals that not one of them has made a commitment to stop developing new fossil fuel projects. And six of the eight companies analyzed are on track to produce more oil and gas in 2030 than they did in 2021.
Oil and gas companies have figured out ways to say, we agree with the science, we agree that climate change is a problem, and we are working for the solutions.
We're working to supply the energy the world needs today, while producing solutions, like renewable diesel, for tomorrow.
The problem is that these solutions just don't have any scientific standing in what actually needs to be done.
These companies are positioning themselves as trustworthy innovators who we are forced to rely on to now solve this crisis that they've been underwriting for decades.
There's nothing illegal about that.
Just how trustworthy are fossil fuel companies? This is how a senior lobbyist at ExxonMobil, secretly recorded during a sting by activists at Greenpeace, described the industry's decades-long campaign of disinformation.
Did we aggressively fight against some of the science? Yes. Did we join some of these shadow groups to work against some of the early efforts? Yes, that's true.
But the climate denial of the past doesn't wash anymore. Instead, the industry is now pushing for delay.
They're really not trying to say that climate change isn't happening, or even that fossil fuels don't contribute to it. So they've really embraced instead this tactic of trying to delay action as long as possible. There's pushing non-transformative solutions.
Carbon capture and storage can remove more than 90% of CO2 emissions.
Exxon is very, very big on carbon capture. It's almost all their advertising right now.
It's one of the ways ExxonMobil is advancing climate solutions.
You would think if you just watched their ads that all they do is carbon capture, but in fact, they invest less than 1% of their capital in anything other than fossil fuels.
Oil companies have become very good at recognizing ways to phrase what they want you to hear, which is that they're acting on climate while continuing to produce oil and gas.
All across BP, we are changing.
A great example of this that I've seen pop up more and more is the phrase low carbon.
We're creating new and improved low carbon products.
The phrase low carbon doesn't mean anything, though. I mean, it's very easy to be lower carbon than a barrel of oil or a pile of coal.
Over the last few years, we've exhaustively studied the climate communications by ExxonMobil. What we found were systematic discrepancies between, on the one hand, what Exxon and ExxonMobil scientists said in academic circles and behind closed doors, versus, on the other, what the company told the general public on the op-ed page of the New York Times and elsewhere. We found that they publicly fixate on consumer energy demand and on the role of energy efficiency rather than on the fossil fuels that they actually supply. This has the overall effect of shifting responsibility for the climate crisis away from companies and onto their customers.
ExxonMobil told us their public statements about climate change are, and have been, truthful, fact-based, transparent, and consistent with the views of the broader mainstream scientific community at the time. But fossil fuel companies can see the writing on the wall. So they're no longer selling a product, they're selling an idea. They want consumers to know that they are indispensable partners in a green new future. And platforms like Facebook and Instagram are where they're targeting audiences with ads that detoxify or greenwash their image. Facebook's ad library is a window into how these companies position themselves as part of the solution. like this one, which features some of the brightest minds at Shell.
I say I work in renewable energy, and they go to me, what's that mean, mummy? But then I talk about the solar panels you see on people's roofs, the big wind turbines. I help the energy that those things produce get into people's homes.
These campaigns are subtle and increasingly aspirational, playing on our desire to travel and explore the world.
All you have to do is follow the road. Phillips 66. Live to the full.
Shell and ConocoPhillips tapped different types of influencers for the different types of audiences they wanted to reach. I found this one influencer who took this Shell-sponsored trip to Joshua Tree and had this really beautiful sepia video of her wandering around Joshua Tree. What I also saw was Shell starting to use social media to greenwash their products.
Thanks to Shell, there's a way to both explore nature and to reduce our carbon footprint at the same time.
It was very clearly, we care about the environment, you do too, you should buy our oil.
A Shell spokesperson told us, we are letting our customers know, through advertising or social media, what lower carbon solutions we offer, so they can switch when the time is right for them. The public relations industry emerged 100 years ago as a response to rising public distrust of big business. An early adopter of these dark arts was an American called Ivy Lee. Lee pioneered PR techniques like press releases and corporate philanthropy while working for Standard Oil, a company feared and reviled in equal measure. In the 1970s, a successor of Standard Oil, Mobil, which later became ExxonMobil, launched a campaign that continues to this day, using paid content disguised as editorial, advertorials that were printed on the opinion pages of the New York Times.
This is one of the largest and most systematic efforts to influence public opinion in the history of modern America. Mobil and then ExxonMobil took out advertorials starting in 1972, every Thursday for 29 years on the op-ed page of the New York Times, and then every other Thursday for another decade after that. In the 80s, Mobil actually concluded that their advertorials had affected what they called the collective unconscious of America. They had got into the minds of opinion leaders who, and this is a quote, molded general public opinion.
Well, let's call it by its proper name, the propaganda industry. It is, you know, using informations and stories to change people's minds at a group level, at sort of a mass society level. And they are very good at it. John W. Hill, who's like the guy who created the tobacco industry's science denial campaign, he was working for the American Petroleum Institute and Texaco at the same time. You see these techniques show up later and you're like, well, yeah, because they're all working for multiple industries at the same time, and they definitely share information.
Oil and gas companies helped invent a lot of modern advertising. They've always been so good at this. They're really good at this.
I never really saw myself working for an energy company, but the more I learned, the more motivated I became to make a difference.
And I think that what people really need to start doing is really questioning what's behind the messaging. We know we really need to stop using fossil fuels as soon as possible. And any solutions that don't get us closer to that end date are not real climate solutions. It doesn't matter how many buzzwords you put on it. If you're putting emissions into the planet, it's not a climate solution.